Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you're having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue our look at an essay posted on LDS.org titled Plural Marriage in Kirtland and Nauvoo. This is an essay that has been put together by Mormon scholars. That is very clear from the essay itself, but what makes it official is the fact that it is found on LDS.org, and Mormons are told that if they find something that is on an official website of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that they can accept that as being an official position of the church.
And if you want to see that, you can go to our main webpage, www.mrm.org, and we have an article there at the very top that will direct you there to a link to that, as well as our commentary based on this article and the radio shows we're doing here.
I was reading an article on the web, and there was a quotation from an individual, and I think the quotation is actually correct, when they were talking about how a lot of the material that is in this essay, had a Mormon historian written about this several years ago, they probably would have risked either a reprimand or possibly even a excommunication from the church. So there is a lot of information here that is no doubt embarrassing to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So that raises the question, well, why are they saying it now? Folks, I think the reason they're having to fess up on this is because they have no choice. The information is out there. The information has been disseminated by a number of websites. There's no way that the Mormon Church can deny this anymore. They cannot just turn a blind eye and ignore this information anymore when so many are asking questions about this. To act like it's not there looks suspicious. So they really have no choice. They're going to have to address this. The question that you have to answer in your own mind when you read these essays is, does this really sell you on Mormonism? Do you want to associate yourself with the church simply because they are now, after all these years, being honest about their history? Would that be a reason to join the church? I mean, you still have to deal with Joseph Smith's dubious behavior. I could guarantee you that if any modern Latter-day Saint leader behaved like Joseph Smith, and admitted to in this essay, that nobody would want to follow a person like that.
And polygamy being an issue that was not considered positive back in the time of Joseph Smith, imagine any kind of a issue like that today where the prophet says that he received a revelation in 1831 is what Joseph Smith said. Suppose Thomas S. Monson today believed that he heard from God to do something and for 10 years practiced that without bringing it forth before the church. Do you think the people 10 years down the road would be happy that he was practicing something that he was secretly doing and not allowing other people to do by not announcing it? See, I think Joseph Smith can do no wrong, and he's going to be protected at all costs. And that's what this paper is about, trying to bring out some of the history that has been all over the internet, and people know about it now.
I personally think that these essays are probably going to cause much more confusion among the faithful if they read them. Because I've talked to Mormons who have not read them, even know they exist.
We talked about it on Monday. It's hard to find these articles unless
That's
you know what you're
true.
Looking for.
Well, under the section Joseph Smith and Plural Marriage, it talks about the difference between a sealing for time and eternity and a sealing that is for eternity only. Why don't you reread that, Eric?
It says, during the era in which plural marriage was practiced, Latter-day Saints distinguished between sealings for time and eternity and sealings for eternity only. Sealings for time and eternity included commitments and relationships during this life, generally including the possibility of sexual relations. Eternity-only sealings indicated relationships in the next life alone. Then it goes on and says, evidence indicates that Joseph Smith participated in both types of sealings. The exact number of women to whom he was sealed in his lifetime is unknown because the evidence is fragmentary.
Now let's look at that first sentence in the second paragraph that you just read. Evidence indicates that Joseph Smith participated in both types of sealings. Do you see the admission here? I don't want this to escape our notice here. When they say that sealings for time and eternity generally included the possibility of sexual relations, and then goes on to say that evidence indicates that Joseph Smith participated in both types of sealings, it's obviously admitting that, yes, Joseph Smith did have sexual relations with women other than Emma Smith, his first wife. There's no escaping that. The church has basically admitted that now. Mm-hmm. There's no going back. They've admitted that. The question, you have to answer in your own mind. Do you have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with a man claiming to be a prophet of God who can just tell people that God told him to take on these other women as his wives, tell you a story about an angel with a flaming sword in order to encourage him to do that because he's reluctant? Obviously, that would be a great manipulative tactic. Act like you're reluctant, so much so that your life is in jeopardy. How would that come across as opposed to, let's say, a Mormon prophet who says, I'm really excited about polygamy. I want to get involved with this as soon as possible. The first example sounds like, well, you know, he knows this is going to cause problems for himself and for the women, and he doesn't want to cause problems. He's a virtuous man, so he's reluctant to do this, so God's going to have to send an angel.
And that's why his friends would have spells where they would cry at lengths, and they would say they couldn't believe that this was happening. And you have to ask yourself, really?
Let's go on. In this section, it talks about the ages of the women that Joseph Smith married.
It says most of those sealed to Joseph Smith were between 20 and 40 years of age at the time of their sealing to him. The oldest, Fanny Young, was 56 years old. Now, I was looking at Todd Compton's book, In Sacred Loneliness, and actually Rhoda Richards was 58 when she married Smith on June 12, 1843. We can quibble about 56 or 58, but actually Rhoda Richards probably was the oldest. Three of his wives, by the way, were in their 50s. So women who could not have born children, interestingly enough, when Jacob 2:30 says that raising up seed was necessary to be able to participate in polygamy. And here three of his wives were in their 50s. It's interesting, Bill, when I saw that, when I read that initially, I'm thinking 20 to 40. Why did they pick a two-decade period of time and conveniently leave out the fact that about one-third of Joseph Smith's wives were teenagers? In fact, I looked it up. I did the research of Joseph Smith's 33 wives. There were 10 who were ages 14 to 19, so they were teenagers. There were 10 who were ages 20 to 30. And there were 10 who were ages 30 to 39. An even breakdown if you go decade by decade. And in fact, the teenagers were only talking about 6 years rather than 10. And there were none from 40 to 49 and three from 50 to 56. Why did they space that out between 20 and 40? Because they're not going to mention the fact that about a third of Joseph Smith's wives were teenagers.
Yeah, and nobody would probably quibble over the fact that Joseph Smith may have had a wife that was 20 years old. That's not all that uncommon. So the spread of 20 to 40 years would not seem all that inappropriate if you're going to believe that this practice was actually commanded of God in the first place.
It goes on and says, the youngest wife was Helen Mar Kimball, daughter of Joseph's close friends Heber C. and Violet Murray Kimball, who was sealed to Joseph several months before her 15th birthday.
So that was interesting the way they worded that. Several months before her 15th birthday. By throwing out the 15 there, you give it the impression that she's older. But folks, if it was several months before her 15th birthday, Helen Mar Kimball was 14 years old. This guy's in his 30s, and he's marrying a woman who's 14 years old.
And it's interesting you bring that out, because listen to the next sentence they write. Marriage at such an age, inappropriate by today's standards, was legal in that era, and some women married in their mid-teens. If I'm not mistaken, Bill, in Utah, I think women can get married at 15 with parents' permission. just because it's legal doesn't necessarily make it right, and especially when Joseph Smith had already been married to Emma. And then it goes on and says, Helen Mar Kimball spoke of her sealant to Joseph as being for eternity alone, suggesting that the relationship did not involve sexual relations. After Joseph's death, Helen remarried and became an articulate defender of him and of plural marriage.
But there's an interesting caveat to that whole story. Joseph Smith would be killed by an angry mob just a few months later after Helen Mar Kimball did turn 15. So that meant that she was all of a sudden a widow at the age of 15. She ends up marrying Horace Whitney. Horace Whitney, who was the son of Newell K. Whitney, they get married and they have children. They had several children. I think two of them died in infancy, but they had several children. Now, in the context of Mormonism, this is where it really gets kind of complicated, you would think, that those children that were born to Horace Whitney and Helen Mar Kimball Whitney would not be theirs in eternity. Why? Because Helen Mar Kimball was only married to Horace Whitney for time. That would mean that because she's sealed to Joseph Smith for eternity, the children born to her and Horace would then be given to Joseph Smith and Helen in eternity. So children that Joseph Smith never conceived, never knew, never raised, never had an opportunity to even know would be his children in the hereafter. They would not be Horace's children, even though he was the biological father of those children. So it gets really complicated and convoluted when you start looking at how this doctrine of plural marriage really plays out. Anyway, we're going to look at more of this next week. On Monday's show, we're going to pick up this topic because this is an article that certainly has gotten a lot of attention by many critics of Mormonism as well as many of those who are faithful in Mormonism. So come Monday's show, we are going to take another look at this article, this essay, titled Plural Marriage in Kirtland and Nauvoo. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to learn more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Well, on Saturday, November 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 1, in Holiday, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes information on the Book of Mormon, the nature of the Godhead, and how the LDS version of salvation compares with the Bible. Once again, it all takes place on November 15th at Risen Life Church, located at 2780 East and 3900 South in Holiday. Everyone who comes gets a complimentary copy of the notes, and refreshments will be served. If you'd like more information, we invite you to go to mrm.org and click on the link that says Calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. No doubt, you won't want to miss this excellent opportunity to better understand the Mormon religion.